If we're going to want to help promote the adoption of EV, we have to be bold. If we have to fail, we fail forward. Mm-hmm. And not only that, we want to make sure we want to put the money where our mouth is. So I think that's what MTE has demonstrated through that strategy first meeting we had.
Welcome to MTE's Plugged In podcast. This podcast focuses on the world of electric vehicles. We combine expert interviews and personal stories to educate and inform listeners about electric vehicles. So whether you're an early adopter who has been driving an EV for years, or you're just starting your research, this podcast is for you.
Hello, I'm Brandon Wagner.
And I'm Amy Byers, and welcome to MTE's Plugged In podcast. Today, Brandon and I are welcoming Philip Lim to the podcast. Philip is part of MTE's strategy team. He works very closely with you, Brandon, and has been an integral part in how we have built out our EV program. Mm-hmm. So we're going to kind of pick your brain today, Philip. Before we get into everything that you've done with the EV program here at Middle Tennessee Electric, I want to talk a little bit about you and your history with the utility industry. You have been at Middle for 4 years, but you have been at other places before that. So tell us a little bit, even your whole journey. I think you are originally from Singapore. Mm-hmm. So what brought you to the U.S. and tell us a little bit of your story.
Okay. Thank you for inviting me. I think one of the things that when people ask me how long I've been here, actually March the 17th, I've been in this country for 40 years. Mm-hmm. My wife and I got married March the 10th, which is this coming Sunday. We'll be celebrating our 40th anniversary. I told many people that I came here seeking for honeymoon, but not really. I actually was accepted by UT Knoxville into the School of Electrical Engineering and graduated there in 1988. Accepted a job as an entry-level electrical engineer for Memphis Light Gas Water in Memphis, Tennessee. And I worked all the way up to retire 27 years of service. Mm-hmm. So pretty much put me right about 2014. And that's where I came to Middle Tennessee to work for City of Murfreesboro Electric Department, mm-hmm. as the Director of Engineering. So along the journey, I actually earned a master's degree in electrical engineering too. And I also has a Master of Business Administration, aka MBA, mm-hmm. for Union University in 2005. Kind of interesting that how my journey has taken from technical now to the business side of what I do. So all in all, I have nearly 36 years of experience with the utility industry. To say the least, I was very fortunate to have got to do a lot of different things in my career. So up until about 4 years ago, I joined the strategy group in Middle Tennessee Electric. Mm-hmm. Had the privilege and honor to work with Brandon Wagner, and it's been fun. It's been fun in our EV journey. So
I think because I've been in the utility industry for 30-ish years, as well, and I know in my time, and you've been in even longer, we have seen so many innovative things. When I started, the meter readers were out there. Some of them were still, writing down their meter readings in a book. Mm-hmm. And then you go from that to where they would enter the meter, they had kind of a little handheld kind of computer type thing, and they would add it into that and then come in and plug it into the system and it would download. Then we went to where they were, had an antenna on them, and we didn't even have to get out of the car, and we could punch a button and the reading would shoot to it, to where now everything is done from the office when we're reading meters. So, just when you're talking about just meter reading and you think about how that has grown over the years, and that's just one aspect. So there's so many aspects, but my question is, 40 years ago when you started, did you think there's going to be a point in my career where we're going to have electric vehicles, and we've got to figure out as a utility how we're going to handle that? Would you have thought we would have advanced to this point?
It's kind of funny you ask that question, because we were actually in a warehouse. We were playing with some of the electric battery. Mm-hmm. We charged the battery around the forklift around, And actually, when I was in Memphis, we actually experimented a few of the electric vehicle on the road, but it only lasts like 20 minutes because we couldn't hold the battery charges. But as to answer your question, whether we ever thought the electric vehicle would really become fruition in what I see on the road today, it never crossed my mind. I thought it was just a little toy that people play with. I had played a lot with a lot of remote battery car at home. When my son was growing up, we used to buy those toy car, we play with it. So, but to see the electric vehicle on the road today is just something that I never quite able to grab in my mind if you asked me 40 years ago when I first started this career. So.
Well, Philip, I was really excited when I got the news that we were going to get to work together as MED and MTE merged. And the first thing we did together was we were sort of challenged by the board to come up with an EV strategy. And we've gone a long way, but sometimes it's hard to remember what it was like in 2020, which was only 4 years ago. Take us back to those first meetings. What were we doing in the space? It's very different than it is now.
I mean, I think the one word is summarized. I was a bit apprehensive when we were sat in that room together with you and Brad Gibson. And I remember that, what are we going to do? I mean, there's so many times, I have no idea. I couldn't even spell the word level one, two, or three, you know. And I get myself so confused. I got to the point where it's much easier for me to remember. A level three is 480 volt because I'm an electrical engineer. That's how I remember. A level one is something like we use it at home. Then the concept of level two is in between, like a dryer in a home. So that's how I kind of put my thoughts together. So very quickly, I remember that we were brainstorming a lot of ideas. But I think the thing that really stood out in that meeting was that if we're going to want to help promote the adoption of EV, we have to be bold. If we had to fail, we fail forward. And not only that, we want to make sure we want to put the money where our mouth is. So I think that's what MTE has demonstrated through the strategy first meeting we had.
Yeah, and one of the things I really enjoyed with those first few meetings is we didn't just dive directly into EVs. We said, what do we want to get out of it? If we do this well, what is it going to manifest as? And what we talked about was we want the MTE to be the leader in the valley regarding EVs. And, you know, we also kind of realized that it's not that we were necessarily pro-EV or anti-EV, but our research had indicated that EVs were coming and we had to be able to know about them and have the grid prepared for them. So since we've done that, so 4 years ago, that was our goal, brand association and becoming a leader, becoming a resource for our members. A lot has changed. Can you recap a little bit about what MTE does now in the EV strategy space that came out of those meetings?
Well, I think one of the things that I'm proud to be associated with is you started the EV car club. To be quite honest with you, we kind of laugh at each other when we say, sure, there's a lot of people who join us. But today we have over 400 members.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's more than that, isn't it?
It's close to 600. Yeah.
600 now, okay. Yeah. So I'm a little bit behind time. Okay. Forgive me for that. So I remember that we had our first meeting, we're kind of nervous. We don't know what to do. And there were people showing up. And then the other thing that, not only the EV car club, the other thing is that we got a little bit excited. We said, well, one of the things we wanted to do was to encourage an employee who owns EV to drive to work.
Right.
So we said, well, let's just go ahead and build some of the level two chargers in our parking lot in the central office. And we built it at a time when material was in shortage. It was during COVID. Electrical conduit was three times the price, but yet we did it. But only the bold part that I felt like was we oversized the transformer, we oversized our circuit breaker so that we can grow into it. Now I look back, those decisions were good decisions that we. So what we do today is that we not only that we understand a lot of brand out there, when people talk EV charging, we're very comfortable. I remember the first meeting, I was really kind of worried about what I'm going to say when people ask me. But I think you probably struggle the same thing I have. There's so many even while we don't endorse a lot of brand, but today I would say that we know what are some good brand out there. Mm-hmm. Not in terms of the cost, but in terms of the technical support that this brand. Yeah. So that's why I think that's where we are today.
Yeah, and I think as you were talking, I was just thinking about we wanted to be that resource, and that all that you just said gave us some knowledge, firsthand experience, and then we can give that knowledge away for free, right? Because we can learn it and give those lessons learned to other folks. And we had a program, we wanted institutional knowledge of what it's like to own an EV, and so we had a program in 2021 to help get some more employees to make the decision to be EV owners. And now I think we have like 15 employees that are EV owners, which has been great for us to learn the pain points of EV ownership and where MTE can play a role. We'd started the EV Ready program, which allows a $50 bill credit if you install a level 2 charger in your home. And then of course the Night Flex rate is our most recent addition. Mm-hmm. And I just love thinking back on, you know, sometimes, Amy, we go through strategy and it's like we work, we meet, we failed on a couple things, mm-hmm. and we failed fast and moved on. But there are times that, you know, you look back and you go, what's happened? What are we doing? And then it's nice to look back 4 years later and go, look at how it happened. It, day by day, you may not see the change, but 4 years later, it's pretty drastic.
Yeah, I think one of the things I like to say that we have helped TVA develop so-called the DC fast, I call the public charging rates, which we have it now in our rate mm-hmm. structure. As a matter of fact, as we speak, talk about evolution, we actually, beginning of this month, we actually have installed the first DC fast charge in our footprint. Mm-hmm. And I think we got two more coming, and we're very hopeful that we'll get it done end of this year. And this is through the grant money that we received from TVA and TDAC. And it kind of spoke volume to us that not only is, as we evolve, we knew where to go look for resources. Mm-hmm. And if somebody were to ask me today, what would you do something differently? I say, I would be a little bit more forward thinking in trying new things. Mm-hmm. And don't be afraid to fail. I think we're a little bit careful when we first started, but I think to your point, yeah, I think we're in a better spot today than we were 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm. So I want to go back to something you had said about how, you know, we were, when we started this, we weren't trying to necessarily be pro-EV or non-pro-EV. We just wanted to make sure we were that resource. And, you know, that's something for all of our programs. You know, I know that is a mission that has been tasked to us from, you know, the top, is that we need to be that trusted energy advisor, that trusted energy resource to our members so that they have a place, whether it's, you know, information on heat pumps or energy efficiency or, you know, for our key accounts, you know, any type of power quality issues they may have. You know, we want to be that resource and have been for years and years and years in other programs. So when y'all sat down, you basically just took the same approach that we have used in other areas of the utility industry with the EV area to become that trusted resource. And even with the podcast, mm-hmm. You know, when we're talking to people about that we do reviews on different models or whatever, we don't want all the pretty stuff. You know, right. We want to know the real issues. We want to know what was your pain point. Let's talk about that, you know, because we want to be that resource, trusted resource. We're not necessarily trying to sell anybody anything. We just want to, you know, be that resource for them. And if there's a topic, I know you get calls a lot where people will say, well, what do you know about this? And you may not know anything. Mm-hmm. And you'll be like, I'm not really sure. But you know what? I have the contacts where I can get that information for you. And so that's our goal here. So we'll go back to...
Yeah, but Amy, let me kind of interrupt you on that.
Sure.
To that point, one of the earlier initiatives we wanted to do was to partner with car dealership to tell them, hey, we'll come in and provide education for you, mm-hmm. all the resources. It was amazing when we start calling on all the big manufacturers mm-hmm. that we have here, they were not ready.
Yeah.
We very quickly realized that if anybody's going to educate our members, it would be us. Mm-hmm. So I'm pleased to tell you that, that I have people call me. They live in Brentwood, Tennessee. I mean, Williamson County is by far one of the faster adoptee in terms of EV on the road. So, I mean, we were always quick. And because of Brandon Resources, my connection with the research and development, we were able to give the first person answer rather than trying to second guess what the answer should be.
Yeah, and so much more, you know, now than before. I mean, a lot of times y'all have that information just right there and can, you know, answer the question. So going back to, you know, you mentioned, you know, we talked about some of the things worked and some of the things didn't work, and you mentioned one of the things that didn't work. But what are some of the ways there from the beginning, initially, that we were able to meet some of our strategic goals in the EV area?
I think one of the things that the one of the goal was to promote workplace charging. Mm-hmm. So the fact that we actually went ahead and at a time where materials in shortage to install infrastructure for level two charges was probably one of the success story I tell. As much as you have success, also at the same time that we find that having a very reliable and qualified partnership with electrical contractor was the key. We were very fortunate that we have somebody local that have done a lot of work for our campuses. So we went to them and they gave us, I thought, was a very fair price, and the timing was pretty good. And they were hungry to learn in this space because they want to compete in the EV space. I can tell you today, if you ask this person or this company that does work for us, they're ready, they're equipped. They're so much appreciative that we let them have a chance to try on our space. So I think it was a good story.
Yeah, and I think every time we launch something, we set some kind of metric on how do we measure if it's successful or not. And I can't help but think about the NightFlex rate. It's been out for 9 months now, and we have seen the folks that are on that rate have saved money every single month. And the cost to serve that group is less for MTE than the overall residential group. And so when we first set it out, we said we want to design a rate that incentivizes a charging behavior that saves MTE money, and we share that savings with the participants. And one thing that's what I loved about that is because sometimes we'll get folks that say, you know, is that, are you doing too much for folks that are EV owners? And well, since we save some money sharing that savings, those savings that MTE has, that goes to benefit the entire membership. So one of the things Philip and I said from the beginning is we want to leverage EV usage for the entire valley, whether you have an EV or not. And there's a way to do that, and that was important for us to not
just.
It was
a great breakthrough for us. Yeah, and I mean. There are days where, trust me, Brandon and I brainstorm a lot and we don't necessarily agree. We don't align a lot of things. I would say that he's the guy that I always like to caution me a little bit more. But I appreciate that. I always say that he's a thinker, I'm a talker. But I think we make a good team together. He played the good cops, I played the bad one at times. So to that point, a lot of time when there's question will come in, you can tell that people want to ask questions just trying to set a trap for us or what. And we look at each other, we just say, I'll take that question. I handle that. And even right to this present day, in any time when we have a field installation issue, either he or jumped on it, I will jump on it. But each one of us bring a different flavor. But at the end of the day, we want to be to tell a success story. You know, in every project, it's never a perfect schedule. So we learn to actually put buffer in our schedule so that when we get to a point where we felt like we're tight, but we have place to breathe. How can we do that? It's because of his experience and my experience in the utility space. I would say that both of us actually add up together, we have probably close to at least 50 years worth of project management experience.
Well, and I think kind of you hit the nail on the head a little bit in that I have found that the best collaborations, the best things that I have done where it's been really, really successful is when you have a team that is made up of different viewpoints and different ideas, people coming at it at a different way, because that's the world. You know, everybody is going to look at we'll use EVs, for example. Everybody's going to look at an EV program or EV ownership or whatever through their own lens, mm-hmm. that it's going to be different from the person sitting beside them. So I think when you're tackling any problem, having that broadness to where I'm going to look at it this way, you're going to look at it this way, but what's going to come out of that is going to be success. Mm-hmm. So I think that may be the key to the success of the EV program here, is that, you know, both of y'all are sitting at the table with totally different perspectives, mm-hmm. perspectives on it. So it has been successful. We talked about the night flex rate a little bit. Can you share with us other, you know, opportunities that our members may have through some of the programs that MTE offers?
I mean, besides, one of our primary goal is to eventually have some level two charging charger available for our members as they come mm-hmm. do business with us. For example, if today if we have members that do business with our Lebanon office, the fast chargers, they want to charge for 30 minutes, yeah, that's with a very small price, because mm-hmm. at the end of the day, our cost for kilowatt hour is much cheaper compared to any of the public charger. Mm-hmm. And that's one way we give back to our members, provide the service. And of course, the public also enjoys it. Whoever drive past Interstate 40 and they want to take a turn to our Lebanon office. But soon, by the end of this year, I'm hopefully that our central office will have the same setup. Then we have another location in Franklin, Tennessee too. So these are ways that we are trying to create and actually try to actually be a little bit ahead of what other people
think. And all three of these offices are right there, very close mm-hmm. to the interstates.
That's correct, yeah. And I think in some way we're blessed. I don't know who had the idea that our offices be that close to interstate, but whoever had that, I think kudos to them.
Yeah,
so we our success is because somebody had thought through all this, I mm-hmm. guess.
But.
Yeah, and the EV Ready program for those who are putting a charger in their house, it's a very simple form online they can fill out and get $50 bill credit. And we've had hundreds of people mm-hmm. that signed up for that. Yeah. You know, it's been very, very popular.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, beside what we do for our members, our employees have an opportunity to really use the available electric vehicle that we have. For instance, we start off with one Nissan Leaf, then we bought the Shelby Bolt. But today we have close to about 15 or 16 F-150 Lightning. And they are actually being dispersed throughout our organization. The line crew gets to drive some, our key account gets to drive some, engineering gets to drive some, and operation folks do. So these are ways that we actually to encourage our employee to really get into the EV space mm-hmm. with us and learn as much as they want. Again, back to you, he says, after they drive it for a few times, they might say, this is not for me, mm-hmm. which is okay. But at least you have a chance. And our employers, which is MTE, is able to do that because we want to put the money where our mouth is.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think electrifying our fleet was a very good step for us, because we get commercial members of ours all the time that are interested in it, and we can kind of share with them lessons learned and our experience. I wanted to ask you, nobody knows more people in the Valley than you do, Philip. Like everybody I meet anywhere, they know you, and they know you well. And I know a lot of that's because you're very involved with different committees. You're heavily involved with EPRI. I was wondering, those meetings that you have, and I know you can't share everything with us, but what are some research and development things that you're seeing in some of those committees that you think are going to be the next step in EV strategy?
Hey, Brendan, I used to pay a lot of attention in more on the technical side on the electric distribution space. But since joining your team, I have been focusing a lot in the program called electrification, which entails things like electric vehicle research. They look at the type of vehicle coming on the market, and they look at also the type of charger that's on the market. And then we also talk about, part of the electrification program also, we talk about the energy storage, how we could use actually battery to actually help support the electric vehicle charging, and at the same time actually use it for our power grid for peak shaving purposes. And through that, I spend a lot of my time also with a group called the Power Quality Group, because we know that through all these are so-called, if you allow me to use the technical term, it's called non-linear load, means nothing normal, just not, we don't burn a fluorescent light bulb anymore. We learn everything is all through electronics. Because of that, we're introduced into challenges like harmonics. Harmonics is basically things that can create havoc to our electric system if we're not monitoring carefully. So these are the space that I spend a lot of my time studying and doing research, providing guidance to EPRI researcher. We have some of the smart people that actually work for our research group. So,
yeah. Well, I'm really glad that you're a part of that, because I know a lot of it involves even TVA and other local power companies and trying to figure out how to use all this distributed energy resources in the future to benefit the grid. And it's not going to be easy, but I'm glad you're on there.
Well, besides Electric Power Research Institute, we as a co-op, we're a member of NRECA. Mm-hmm. And NRECA is very much in the cutting edge in terms of research. They're looking at a similar issue, but the thing is that they look at it more from a cooperative standpoint.
Right.
Because as a co-op, you and I know, we are trying to deliver safe, reliable, affordable electricity. Mm-hmm. The affordability part is that if we spend too much money on research, if there's no good result, we're spending our members' money.
Right.
So my involvement with the NRECA group has really been good, because it allows me to take some of the things that I hear from the electric power research side, and they'll come over and say, hey, let's not reinvent the wheel. Somebody else is doing it. We also, a member of Electric Power Research, we can actually get the result and share with the other co-op. And when we think of co-op, we always think of, not every co-op is like ours, the size of our co-op. Mm-hmm. You know, right now, we're one of the largest co-op in the valley. We're second largest in the nation. Mm-hmm. But I talk to people who have need like 6,000 meter.
Right.
If people are less than 10,000 meter, they call themselves a co-op. They are the one that look to us for help.
So as we're wrapping things up, I want to shift gears a little bit with you, Philip.
Sure.
You have had a career filled with serving others and pouring yourself into the lives of those around you. I have seen that very, very personally in the fact that you took my daughter under her wing when she started her, you know, pursuing a degree in electrical engineering.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You know, you took her under her wing, mentored her, helped her figure out what she needed to do, even as she got into the workforce and started her licensing degrees. You have helped her there. So you certainly have a passion for mentoring, and I, you know, the grateful is an understatement to what I am with, because I couldn't, you know, I had to quit helping her in math in second grade.
Yeah,
so I definitely needed you in my court as we got her through college. So. Is there anything that you, outside of the EV world, that you would like to share with our listeners, based on just other experiences you have had?
I guess I will say this in a way of that I'm grateful that my career path took me a long way, all the way from Singapore to here, mm-hmm. and along the way I met a lot of good people. And I am what I am today is because, by the grace of God, and but not only that, He has put people in my life to help prepare and propel me to the position that He wants to put me in. So with this space, I'm able to do more for our organization and also for the people that we serve in the valley. I think the when the merger came together, one of the things our CEO talked to me was that, hey, be best to put you in a strategy group. Are you okay with that? I didn't know what I was agreeing to. I just said, that's mm-hmm. fine. I mean, whatever, I can serve the organization. Is it okay for you to work with Brandon? I said, yeah, I don't know him very well. I only met him in one of the courses I taught here many years ago. But I knew that coming together with Brandon, who is young and energetic, I felt like I could share my experience with him. Mm-hmm. Whether he take it or not, I'm going to share it anyway. But But then along the way too, and then one of the things that I was able to really encourage MTE engineers to get their licensing. As a result of that, we actually 2 years ago started called the MTE PE Days. And since then, we have...
And PE is?
PE is for professional engineers.
Okay.
So thank you for clarifying that. And when I first came, there were only a few professional engineers in our group. But since then, we have over five people actually been registered since last 2 years. Mm-hmm. And I believe that's as a result of, not because of me, it's just because there were a lot of push for that, hey, you need to better yourself. Mm-hmm. And I look back, this is probably one of my joy that to see people become a professional engineer. Mm-hmm. I think your daughter will be, and I have great faith that she'll do really well. It's just a matter of time to getting there. But I think that if I had to summarize how my career looked like, is that you had the good, the bad, the ugly, right? Mm-hmm. So the ugly was the one that where you just don't get over with. Mm-hmm. But you know what? It's the ugly that actually helped me look at things in a very positive way to make good of it. So, and I learned a lot of good technical skill from good people. I also learned a lot of good management skill from people. I also learned a lot of, and witnessed a lot of bad ones too. And so because of the ugly, I said, someday when I want to become a leader, I want to be good at it. Mm-hmm. How can I be good? Because I went through some of the ugly time.
Right.
But it's the bad time that causes me to wonder, say, is this what I'm really called to do? But I want to say that I'm almost towards the end of my career. And I always tell Brandon this in a joking way and also in a very professional way. My number one mission is to make sure you're successful. The strategy group will continue to grow. And not just because we want to grow the empire or grow the team. So much so that we want to be a place where people say, hey, I want to come work for MTE because they know what they're talking about. More importantly, I want to spend some time with the strategy team because they may not know the answer, but they know where they're going. Mm-hmm. That's what I have to say that. So
yeah.
I hope that helps a little bit. As you can tell, I can sit here and tell you all the technical thing. I'm very passionate about what I do, but sometimes my passion can become the ugly side of me because I would get angry.
And not
people,
you.
Yeah, people looked at me and says, man, one moment he's such a nice guy, next moment he's just turned on me. But it's just a passion. I need to be able to control the energy and use that energy for the good of our organization.
Yeah. Well, I just want to say too how fortunate I feel like I have had the opportunity to work with. We want to hire ideal team players. That's sort of the thing that we say here internally. Mm-hmm. And there's no one that embodies that more than you, Philip. And I'm very fortunate I get to work. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of lucked into being in the right place at the right time, that at midway through my career here, I get to be so close to somebody who not only can tell me all these good career things and share his experience with me, but I can see the kind of husband that you are, the kind of father you are, and learn from you in that area too. So I just appreciate you pouring into me, both professionally and personally.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity, and I hope that someday if our path ever split, that you'll be a better person, I'll be a better man.
Philip, thank you so much for being here today and talking with us, and thanks to everyone out there listening today. If you have any questions about anything we've talked about today, any of our programs, the EV Ready program, the Night Flex Rate, or anything EV related, please email us at evcarclub@mte.com. And for more information on MTE's Drive EV programs or the EV Car Club, please visit driveev.com or email us at evcarclub@mte.com. Until next time, plug in, power up, and drive safe. If you enjoy this podcast, please leave us a review. Also, we would love to hear from you. If you have any ideas of topics you would like for us to discuss, please email us at driveev@mte.com. Thanks for listening.